Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 4 of our study of the book of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you're enjoying this study, I want to encourage you to take a minute and leave a review or a comment on your favorite podcasting platform or app of choice. It really helps other people find out about this podcast. And my heart and my desire in that is that people will fall in love with the Word of God and they will fall in love with God. There is a generation of people desperate and hungry for God's Word, and they don't know where to find it. And I hope to be one outlet where people find a love and a hunger and a thirst for God's Word, a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so take just a moment and leave a review or a comment on your favorite podcasting platform, and it really will help other people find out about this podcast. All right, with that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your Word has to say to us, God? Come and speak to us. Come and touch us. Fill us with your love and with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. All right, with pausing right there, this is so, so important. This humility and submitting ourselves to one another. Peter is specifically, again here, calling on younger believers to submit themselves to those who are older. And that is both people who are actually older and people who have walked with Jesus longer. There is a power in this kind of humility of learning from people who have been down this path. And this is not something that our culture is really good at. We have very much a youth-minded culture. You know, when you're looking at 50-year-olds at the Super Bowl halftime show dressed up in almost nothing, shaking things around like they were 20, you know for a fact that we live in a very youth-driven culture, especially when that's praised. And so the honoring of elders is, I mean, I think we all see this, is just not something that Americans have an especially high value for. What we do value are people who are successful at any age. If you're old and you're successful, we value that. If you're young and successful, we value that, but we value success as a culture generally over anything else. And Peter's here is saying it takes humility. I mean, this is not something that is necessarily easy for any culture. Even those that have tended to honor eldership over anything else, generally speaking, a lot of cultures, and this is human nature, tend to like success. And so we value the people, not necessarily who have just kind of continued in a steadfast manner to serve the Lord, even though they didn't get famous or rich or anything like that. All people throughout all time have tended to the people that are successful. You want to surround yourselves with them and submit yourself to them, but not necessarily the people who've just been steady and not famous. And so Peter is saying, listen, humble yourself. It takes humility even to humble yourselves before elders who aren't famous, who aren't the ones that you would choose to humble yourselves. He's saying you choose to humble yourselves before these people. When you do that, there's a surprising amount of power that comes in that. And what I mean by that is, I'll tell two quick stories. I remember one time, when I was in college, I was in a college ministry, and there were some, I won't go into the details because they're not really that important and they don't add much to the story, but there were some things that I just didn't agree with. I didn't like, they weren't make or break or anything terrible. I just didn't like them, but I had submitted myself to this organization, and I wasn't going to fight with them or, you know, cause a stir and go backbiting and do the thing where I tell everyone, oh, this person's leading it wrong or whatever, you shouldn't do with that. I'm not going to do that. I mean, it's, for once, it's kind of silly to try and get my way with something so small in the end. But I also, I'd been reading through the scripture a lot, and this part of Peter right here really, really popped out to me. I'm like, if I'm going to humble myself, I'm going to do it. But Lord, if I feel like I'm right, I'm going to tell you, I feel like I'm right. I'm going to tell you. And if I'm right and they're wrong, or there's just a different way to do this, would you just kind of pierce their hearts with it? And would you do the talking for me? And so there came up this deal where, I just really didn't like the direction they were going. It's not really that important, but I didn't like it. And so I told the Lord about it. And a week later, the leader, you know, one of my elders, he came to me, and I had never even expressed my opinion. My opinion was not asked for on this. I just didn't like it. And I never said anything. I just told the Lord about it. A week or so, maybe up to 10 days later, the leader came to me and said, you know, I'm really struggling with this. I'm not sure we're going the right direction on this, and I don't know what to do. What do you think, Darren? And he had no reason to ask me other than, who knows, maybe no one else liked the idea and they were all backbiting and maybe I was the only one who didn't. I don't know. But I told the Lord, like, I was really specific, Lord, if I'm all right and you care about this, then like make this a thing, like make it happen somehow. Help me get my voice heard. He came to me and asked me my opinion. I gave him my opinion at that point, and they did what I wanted. In the end, maybe what I wanted wasn't right. Maybe it wasn't any better or worse or different. I don't know. But I submitted this to the Lord. I humbled myself to this organization, to the elders that were over me. And when I came into a conflict, I told the Lord about it instead of everyone else. And I watched the Lord honor me in a very specific way in that situation. I told him about it. I was honest with him about how I felt about it. And I asked him for what I wanted to happen. And he did it. And it blew my socks off. And I've seen that many, many times. There's another time where I was submitted to an authority in a church structure where I was doing something that I didn't realize was against the very, some of the core beliefs of that church structure. I wasn't doing it in rebellion. I just didn't know. When it became known, it was kind of run up the flagpole. Pastor found out. He came to me and he's like, you have to stop that now. You can't do that. I was like, you know, but this, and he's, no, you just got to stop. I was like, but, you know, nope, just stop. there was no arguing about it. So I did the same thing. I went back and I told the Lord, I'm like, hey, I feel right in this, Lord, but I'm going to submit to this. Lord, would you move on my behalf? And nothing happened. But what I came to realize over some time was that I was operating within a much larger church structure in which that pastor was operating in. And for this to change, it didn't depend on one person. It depended on the structure that I was in, the structure that I was a part of that I had willingly submitted myself to. And so I realized this is not going to change because there's far too many, without some kind of like massive revival, there were far too many people along the chain. And I came to a realization is that I either have to accept this if I'm submitting myself to the elders in the situation, or I can freely associate somewhere else, but I'm not going to fight the elders on this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to lovingly part if that's what I feel like the Lord needs me to do. In the end, I didn't leave because it wasn't something that I felt mattered so much. I did end up eventually moving away to a different town, but for career and life purposes and things like that. But it was something that wasn't so important to me that I was willing to part with that structure. That's all very vague. I understand that, but I'm hoping the point is coming across is this humility. There is great power in it. Great power. And if you do this, if you humble yourselves before those who are elders, you will see, I believe with all my heart, that you will see power in your life. You'll see the Lord come through and it will soften you. It will soften you to just the normal irritations that come up when you're involved with other people, especially in church. Verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Okay, again, this is the second time in two chapters Peter has mentioned this, be alert and of sober mind. We have an enemy who is really and truly after us. There really is an adversary. There really is a devil out there who wants to destroy us. And so if we're going to pray, if we're going to have a mind that is following God, we have to be alert. We have to be of sober mind. And what Peter means by that is resist temptation, resist the devil, flee from him, flee from sin. And when you fall into sin, jump up. Don't get up, jump up and run back to God in repentance. That is our only way of living as believers. There is no other way. Absolutely. This idea that floats around right now of, well, you repented once and you became a believer, repenting all the time is not necessary. And repenting for salvation, like, you know, I sinned, so I lost my salvation. I got to repent, get my salvation. That's not a thing. That's not biblical. But repenting because it's a lifestyle, because it's humility before the Lord, that's important. We have to do that. And that's what keeps us of sober mind. It's what keeps us of sober judgment before the Lord. Verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. It's unclear, to me at least, if Peter is saying here that he believes that if you stand firm, that the Lord will restore everything to you in this life or in the next. For sure, in the next, because it's very clear that Peter believed the kind of orthodox beliefs that there is an eternity to be had and that there are eternal rewards. Jesus taught this. Peter believed it. And so for sure, Peter knows that you will receive the reward in eternity. I'm not sure if he's alluding to in this life. I think in a proverbial nature, I think that's true. If you're so inclined to hate it, this does smack a little bit of the prosperity gospel, but there's a lot of truth. There's a lot of biblical truth in what people peddle as the prosperity gospel in a proverbial sense, meaning a proverb is not something that's a promise from God, but it's something that's mostly true most of the time. It's not always true. That's a proverb. And so the proverbial nature of the prosperity gospel and of this is that, yes, once you've suffered, a lot of times things get better and you do better and things are restored to you in this life. And when you follow the Lord, a lot of times things go very well, even monetarily. You look at just church history and there's a lot of people when they get saved financially, they do a whole lot better because one of the things, not the only thing, and not always, but a great many times the things that actually hold people back financially and just in relationally is the vices that they're bound up in. When they get free from those demons, they're free to produce and make money and do better. And so in a proverbial sense, yes, there is a lot of restoration. There's a lot of people who do very well as believers, but it doesn't mean that you always will. And it doesn't mean that just because you're following the Lord, things will go well. Sometimes you're following the Lord, and because of that, things go very poorly because of other people. And sometimes the enemy comes against you and things go very poorly. So just because you're following the Lord doesn't mean you do better. And people who do better doesn't mean that they just have the blessing of the Lord on them. So in a proverbial sense, yes, the Lord will restore you in this life. But for sure, even the greatest restoration, the greatest wealth in this life pales in comparison to the rewards we have for all eternity, for those of us who follow the Lord and give him our all. The Bible is very clear about this. So regardless of what we may gain in this life for enduring, we gain so much more in eternity for any enduring that we go through in the hardships of this life. And that's all the time we have for today for the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. I can't wait to see you next time.